Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 25th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter How It Works, and we're on page 59 today, and we're going to read three steps. We're going to read step 7, step 8, and step 9. Take those apart and explain how we utilize those with the directions from the big book. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Christina M., the 12 traditions, Karen W. Reading the steps today and the support is Brandy M., Dana P., Mary B., Lois P. will greet newcomers and get sponsor contact information, and Robin will round us out today with giving announcements here of things that are going on at A Vision for You. Thank you so much for that service, ladies and gentlemen. The share ID numbers for this meeting is yesterday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting, that would be May 24th, is 17005, 17005. And then this morning at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting, that share ID number is 17009. At 17,009, and that would be for the 25th Tuesday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Christina.
Thank you, Hi, thank you. Good morning. My name is Christina M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Christina M. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from New York, and I'd like to first make amends to the group for not being able to fulfill the commitment last week, and thank you to whoever it was that did it for me. So the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you all. Have a great day, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And please follow the star 1 key function only on your phone keypad immediately when you're done speaking, please. And that will help keep the line nice and clear from any unknown noises that can come across on the recording. Appreciate that consideration. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, How It Works, and we're on page 59, where you'll find listed the steps for recovery. We're going to discuss steps 7, 8, and 9 today. So what I would like to do is ask Brandy M. to read steps 7, 8, and 9 and share and discuss her experience with those three, and then we'll open it up for the general fellowship here to comment on those three paragraphs. Three steps as well. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. My experience with, obviously, I have experience with each one of these steps because I had to do these things to be free and be in a position of neutrality with the food. What I know about step 7 is that my character defects blocked me from the sunlight of the spirit. And so, but I don't get to choose which ones he takes and which ones I get to keep or anything like that. I remember when I first started doing this and I kept struggling with certain character defects and getting so upset that, I was acting in these and I needed to stop. And like at times I felt like I was trying to control my character defects just like I was trying to control the food. And it was like, okay, stop. Like, my people in the program said, like, this isn't your choice, Brandy. Like, you don't get to decide what goes and what, it's like God will remove them when he's ready, not when you say I want them removed, you know. And so it's like, okay, so here I'm willing to have you, God, to remove them. And what's my next right action is to act, you know, in the opposite of them and just keep acting as if, and, you know, sometimes they come up. You know, and then I made my list, and my list came from my step four of the people that I've harmed, and, you know, became willing to make amends. And if I wasn't willing, I prayed to be willing, you know, God, help me be willing to do this. And, you know, I did lists, like right now, in a few weeks, never, right? And then I prayed for those few weeks and never, and, you know, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. You know, getting right with other people, you know, cleaning up my side of the street. You know, now when I walk down the street, if I see anyone, I don't need to cross. Like, you know, my side is cleaned up. I had some financial amends that I'm still doing today. And that's the thing, is like, sometimes these things can take a lifetime. It doesn't, you know, it's not like one and done. And so for me, these are really important steps to unblock me from, you know, what I need to see in me and what needs to change in me so that God can show me, you know, if I'm acting in these character defects, or if I have amends that haven't been made, then, you know, I'm still blocked from God, and I'm not living my trueness. Like, so anyways, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandy. Appreciate that. So now the lines are open for additional comments on steps 7, 8, and 9, and you can find them on page 59 of your big book. And we do value your experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday, tomorrow would be your first day to share again. But if you had shared on Thursday or whatever, I'd love to hear from you today. If you give your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I can take down a few folks.
Larry G, California.
Roz G.
Larry and
Los
Roz.
Angeles.
I've got you, Roz. Thank you. Good morning.
Annabelle Z.
Z like zebra. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Robin P. Sherry M.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with that one because we want to make sure we keep as much time as possible. Let's see. Anybody else besides Larry? Can you please? Who's that?
This is Judy J.
Judy J. Okay, that's
and
all
Janice
I'm going to take for right now.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to have to take Janice Kate because I can't not have you be here. Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. Okay. So this is what we have. We have Larry G, Roz G, Annabelle Z, Robin P, Sherry M, Judy J, and Janice K. Good morning, Larry. You're three. And everybody else, please check your phone with a *1 key function and see if we can keep the line quiet. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for everybody who gives service on this call. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. I used to believe that we talked about step six yesterday, but step six and seven was the deep breath for me before the plunge being 7 and 8. There's so little information about step six and seven that it leads one to believe that there are not important steps. To me, this is just my thought on this is that step seven, if I'm going to be successful in the other 11 steps, the foundation of that success is step seven. Because here in step seven, the bigger picture is that I am giving up a Larry objective life to a God-centered life. And I love how Bill has expanded upon this in the AA 12 and 12. It is one of the best writings I have ever come across on humility. And one of the great lines he quotes, of myself on nothing, the Father doeth the works. And on May 17th of last year, I had a crisis, and the crisis was that I realized that I no longer wanted to live in this world without putting God first and communicating with God and thanking God and being grateful and praying and meditating on a day-to-day basis that just the world was just too confusing to me to live anymore. Of course, God also lifted the obsession to compulsively eat. In step seven, what I've learned is humility is seeking the removal of our shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. And I realized that one of my character defects, let me back up. My sponsor, my vision sponsor, really taught me something very new about step seven, that the root of all of my character defects, the self-centeredness, fear, and dishonesty. And unless I address those, and I get to do that through the 10th step, then I'm just going to be into Larry and not really living a God-centered life. So I don't believe those things are going to be ever removed completely. I think God chips away a little at a time. I'm not one of these people that believe that I'm a co-creator, that I am more powerful beyond my wildest imagination. You know, if I was, I would try out for the Green Bay Packers next, this summer and make the team. Limited. I have a limited mind, limited abilities. But with God, I could do this life, and I'm doing it today. Getting up this morning, couldn't wait to be on this call. Worked out, did my prayer and meditation, and just embracing life like I have never have in the last 4 or 5 years being in relapse. So that's it for me. Wish everybody a great day today. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Next up is Roz G. from California, and then Annabelle Z. will follow you, Roz. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie and everybody else. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, Palmdale, California. And Larry G. stole my thunder because I've been hearing all the steps this morning on mostly the shares have been on, steps 8 and 9, which is fabulous. And I need to share about step 7 and humility. And when I take sponsees through the steps, we do take a pause and we do go through step 7 in the 12 and 12. And my sponsor had me to write my own step 7 prayer. In the big book, of course, it's the step 7 prayer. And I'm going to share my step 7 prayer with you. Kind, loving, compassionate God with a sense of humor, I surrender pride, envy, jealousy, fear, and all of my character defects to you. I also surrender my perseverance, friendliness, honesty, loyalty, and character assets to you. I pray that you take them all, mix them up, heat them up, and form me into a woman who shines bright like a diamond to be used for your purposes and give honor to you. Give me strength to walk day by day as I am here among my fellows. And I had to dig deep, and of course I went through the steps rapidly, but I go through the steps every day, all the time, when I'm working with other people. And the 12 and 12, says that humility is a way of life. Humility, love, and tolerance of man as a basis for living. And wow, I didn't even understand my character defects until many years into recovery. Jealousy, envy, pride were the top. And to let go of those is extremely humbling. And to ask God to help me to let go of them is humbling. And the latest one that I have is loneliness. Loneliness is a form of self-pity. It's thinking about me all of the time and how lonely I am instead of God's will for me and my primary purpose of being service to God and the people about me. If I'm doing that, I'm not thinking about my loneliness. And so many doors open up to me. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up and say that I need humility as a basis of living every day. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Rosji. Rosji from California. Annabelle G., you're up for 3 minutes, and then Robin P. will follow you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. from Washington State. I'm a compulsive overeater and recovered. And, oh, what an awesome morning start already. I want to thank the first, the opener, because I love what she said about the acting in the opposite way. So when I ask God to remove my character defects, he will remove them when he's ready in his time. And I've always heard that. I just never, like, well, what do I do in the meantime? I act in the opposite way. And that's another proper use of my will, right? And so where I've been impatient, just be patient. Just wait. Just, you know, where I interrupt, just shut up and listen. Where I'm typically kind of short with people, just be kind, you know, be kind, listen, ask how others feel instead of being the center of attention, take interest in other people, be present with God at all times instead of just, you know, in this desperation, you know, oh God, please, you know, fix everything, you know, and man, that was beautiful. And then the other thing was I also love the 12 and 12 in AA, and on page 74 of the 12 by 12 in step 7, it just describes me perfectly, talking about this humility and how important it is. To those of us who've hitherto known only excitement, depression, or anxiety, in other words, to all of us, because I was just thinking that's me. I mean, that's my life. I'm either excited or depressed or have anxiety. We're all like that. I'm like, really? This newfound peace is a priceless gift. And it says, where humility had formerly stood for a forced feeding on humble pie, it now begins to mean the nourishing ingredient which can give us serenity. And to think of humility and asking God to just humbly ask, you know, to remove my shortcomings, that would be the thing that brings me serenity and that nourishes my soul, that's amazing. And I have to rely on my higher power every single day and ask. It's in the asking that I get that peace, because as soon as, if I'm asking, I'm asking for help. It's basically saying, I don't got it. I need you to help me. And just by the nature, that process of sitting down and even vocalizing it, I do say my prayers out loud. Even if it's in a whisper, I need to speak it. And then I also wanted to touch on the ninth step. I recently did an amends at my work because I'd broken something. And my first reaction when I broke it initially, and someone called out on it. Actually, my first reaction when it broke was, well, this stupid thing. This shouldn't have, you know, it didn't work in the first place. And then I dropped it because I was mad. And then I told the gal to throw it away. And then it came back to me that, like, I'd throw it away. Oh, okay. So I apologized for it. And it was just amazing. I just have peace. I feel so clean. So this program works. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabelle Z. from Washington State. Robin P., you're next for 3 minutes. And then Sherry M., you'll be up after Robin.
Thanks so much, Mel. Thanks so much for your amazing service and everyone else on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Vero Beach, Florida, for the rest of the week. So I always remember, you know, humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings, not like I get to remove my own shortcomings, you know, and God made me and God can fix me. And I always remember also that I heard, you know, it's my job to remain humble, and it's God's job to exalt me. And if I insist upon doing his job for him, he'll insist upon doing my job for me. And so it's, you know, and I think that I came in with so much shame from so much child abuse that, you know, I confused humility with shame. And it's not the same. Humility is such a blessing. Humility is, you know, living in the solutions and the promises and the steps. And it literally feels like the opposite of shame. And then it helped me so much when my sponsor said, you're just making a list in step eight. You're not, because step eight felt intimidating to me the first time that I went through the steps. And my sponsor said, just think about the list, not that you're doing it. That's going ahead to step nine. But in step eight, you're just simply getting a pen, your piece of paper, and you're writing the list. And I also took a lot of the list from my step four. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible. Step one, to do so would injure them or others. You know, the promises come right after step nine for a reason. And then we get to live in 10, 11, and 12 and sponsor people and be of service. You know, I've always had blessings from my step nine. I've never had a bad experience. No one ever, thank God, slammed the door on me. They all just were grateful that I did my step nine with them. And for my stepfather who had died already, I went into a church and I wrote it and I left it there and I really knew that he got it. And it was such a gift to me that there I can literally make amends to anyone. So God bless everybody. Thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin. Robin P. Next up is Sherry M. And then after Sherry,
hi.
Judy J. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there. Good morning. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. And thank you so much for your service and for everyone's shares. And I'm really loving going through these steps three at a time. There's, I mean, every step, you know, is built on the previous step. And this is such a great reminder today. And what's really coming to mind is that I am on a life and death errand here. That is the purpose of these steps, because I admitted that I was powerless over a deadly, progressive, fatal disease, and that my life is unmanageable. And in doing all of the steps, I see that self-will is what's running the show. You know, that's what I've discovered in step four and five, giving that away, is that self-will cannot, you know, remove self-will. And so what do I have to do? I have to take these actions in each of these steps. And if it wasn't for seeing my part in everything, and I have to say, by the time I'm done with step five, I must believe that columns one through three are a big lie. And they're the way that I have been living my life in an unmanageable state of delusion. And I believe that. And then I can see all of my defects as a result of living life run on self-will in step six. And then seven, of course, humbly asking God and praying. I like to specifically put in each character defect in the prayer for the seventh step and make it personal and see how these defects are showing up in my life, and also asking what would my life look like if I was practicing the opposite, and looking up definitions of those. And then by this time, I can see my humanness, and I can see how the things that I'm disturbed with are things that I've done myself, and I have been leveled. With God's help, I have been shown the truth about my true malady, which is a spiritual problem. And now I go out and I see that I need to pocket my pride, and I need to make a list of the people who are I've harmed. And guess what? They're already on the fourth step of the people who disturbed me. Everything is a spiritual axiom here. And what am I doing? I'm trying to repair. I'm trying to correct things. And none of this is because I'm trying to be a superior person. It's because my life depends on it. And if I balk at step nine, I must think that there's another way to recover. And then I have to look back at step one and see, do I truly believe there's no other way? Yes. I have found with step nine that the hardest amends that I made were that's where the spiritual golden nuggets were. Those are the ones that I got the most benefit from, or asking someone, what could, you know, is there anything I can do to make this right? Or what else have I done to cause a wedge between us? And listening for what they tell me is the golden ticket to my life. Step four holds the key to my life. Okay. And all of these steps do. And just to wrap up, there's nothing to fear in any of these steps at all, because they all give us the promises, which are beyond anything that the food could give us. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm from California. What I want to let folks know is that in about 6 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on steps 7, 8, and 9. And you'll be able to find those and read through those to ready yourself for sharing on page 59 of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. So get ready. because in 6 minutes we're going to open up the lines again. But in the meantime, Judy J., you're up for 3 minutes, and then Janice K. will follow you.
Good morning. My name is Judy J. I'm from Illinois, and so grateful to be here, a grateful food addict. I wanted to share on these three steps because they are the steps that I left OA. I'd get to that point or I'd see that ahead of me to do, and I thought, nope, I can't do that. So step seven, when the last sponsor that I had, or current sponsor that I have, I had to humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings, and one of them was my fears. And great sponsor, I felt her strength, and she gave me strength to do it. And one of my first amends that I had to make was I had taken some money out of petty cash for a place I worked with, and because it was one of the first things on my list of people that I had harmed, I wanted to do it. And her and I talked it over, and she said, yes, you know, she will help me do it. And I didn't know where my former boss was, had no idea, knew he had left the area. And I thought, where do I start? Well, I knew where he had gone to school, and that was a place I thought, well, maybe they would allow me to get his address. And this was on a Monday. My sponsor and I talked about it, and she and I worked out this plan to try and find him. Tuesday morning, I open up our local paper, and there's his obituary. Even talking about it today just brings chills to me, and what a warm feeling, not over his death, but that I knew God was working in my life. And it just made such a difference in my program, how I was willing to go to any length with his help, fellow's help, my sponsor's help. In fact, I wanted to call my sponsor right away, but she worked and I hated to bother at work. And I did call and leave a message on her cell, and she called me when she got off work. And I said, if I ever doubted that a higher power was working in my life to help me with this food addiction, that blew right out of my head. I continue to work the steps every day because of that one experience. I went on to have many like that, but that one was so powerful. So I encourage any newcomer who was like me and had a lot of fears, find someone you can trust. Talk to fellows, and we're all in this together. I love the OA. Thank you. I love the OA pamphlet where it shows everybody walking hand in hand, and I just so feel that. And thank you all for allowing me to share, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Judy J. from Illinois. Okay, folks, 3 more minutes, and we're going to be able to open up the lines for folks to comment their experience on step 7, step 8, and step 9. In the meantime, we're going to listen to Janice Kay speak for 3 on the same steps. Hi, Janice.
Hello. This is Janice Kay in Oregon. Oh, boy. Step 7 for me is huge. Step 7 is not quite foundational, but, boy, it is a major part of the work I have done recently. It's listed there in step 10 on page 84. It says, what do? We continue to watch. For what? Resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. And then what when we find them? We ask God at once to remove them. Okay, what step is that? I would like to suggest that step 7 is one that most of us take daily. It's a process of releasing the defects. In step 4 and 5, I'm learning how to do the steps, and what gets removed are the stems and the leaves, okay? The behaviors, the thoughts. Then, in my further recovery, I began the process of daily 10th steps, which lead me to a much more intimate and personal confrontation. I have to sit down and say, this is the problem. What am I doing? What can I do that is different? How am I profiting, and what does this cost me? And there are a lot of, this is one way that my higher power has led me down through the layers. And they are layers not just of behavior, but of hiding. And the roots live on. I don't think that ever in my life I will be free of resentment, which is the anger spectrum for me. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I won't ever be rid of all of those because they are human. They are built in. I can't get rid of them. It's up to my higher power. And I, you know, some people say, God never gives you more than you can deal with. I kind of suspect that from time to time he does, and he does it so that we know we have to go back to him. If I were able to deal with everything he gave me, I would be able to handle food. So he gave me the great unmanageable, and it takes me back to him every time. My job is to watch, okay, to be aware, to notice. And when these things crop up, anger, selfishness, fear, it is my job. Dishonesty. Aha, I always forget dishonesty. It's almost the worst one in the bunch. I always leave it out. Anyway, my job is just to go back and ask him to take care of it. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice Kay from Oregon. The lines are now open for about three additional people to comment on steps 7, 8, and 9.
Duke.
And you'll find them on your page. Just one second, folks. I'll be able to give this little blurb to you. If you would focus your comments, please, on 7, 8, and 9 on page 59. And we do value everyone's experience. But if you shared last Friday, then tomorrow would be your day to share, because we're asking folks to wait for every third day in order to be able to share, to give other people a chance to be able to share on this line, because we have well over 200 people here to be able to do so. Okay, so great. I believe I heard Wendy M., and I heard a gentleman.
Duke,
is that what I heard? Duke, okay.
Yes.
Duke. And what's your first
Maryland
initial of your last name?
R.
Duke, what's the first initial of your last name? R. Okay.
R.
Gotcha. Okay, and I think I heard Liz, and I believe that's it that we're going to have time for today. All right? Okay, so let's go with Wendy M, Duke R, and Liz S. Lindy, your 3 minutes start now. Did I say Lindy and I meant Wendy? What happened to my tongue? Hey, Wendy, good morning.
I can be Lindy if you need that too.
No, you're better with Wendy.
Okay, we'll go with Wendy today. Great.
Okay.
I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering, and in Boulder, Colorado. Okay, so here's the deal. I have been in this program 20 years, maybe 21 years. I've never, ever seen on step 7, humbly asked him to do this thing, to remove my shortcomings. I have been like in the ring, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I can handle fear. Let's go. I can handle selfishness. Well, I got this. I know I can do it, right? And that's what I've been doing. I have never, until yesterday with my sponsor, I have never asked God to remove my shortcomings. Not one day. I'm telling you the truth. You know, and it's so funny. Like, we look at the words, and so often it's like, oh, yeah, humbly ask God to remove. Like, I've heard it a billion times for 21 years. But last night she says to me, do you think God can remove, do you believe God can remove your fear? And you're wanting to have, in my case, it's fantasies in relationships. Doesn't matter what the defect is. It's all selfishness. You know. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, do you think God could do this? And I'm like, oh, that sounds really good, because I'm super exhausted. Like, I have been, you know, because every time fear comes up for me, what my first go-to is, right? Like, breathe deep, do a meditation, call someone, like get rid of it. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the whatever it is. For me, the other one is definitely selfishness. Just get rid of it, Wendy. You can do it. Come on. And I didn't really know here that I could ask God to remove it. And when I felt that last night, there was such a relief. There was such a release. There was like, oh, wow. Even just the notion that I can ask God to remove whatever it is, fear, selfishness, self-centeredness. And in the car today with my son, I got scared. And so I just kept praying, oh, God, please remove this. Please remove this. Please remove this. And then I smiled while I was driving, and God said, there you go. There you go. Do contrary action. Just smile in the car. Just be in acceptance of what is. And I was like, oh, this is good. So it's just, I didn't know. And it's like I can relax, like it says in the 11th step, you know, we relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. So I'm exhausted. I don't need to do this. I can actually ask God. And that requires that I believe that I have a higher power, which I do.
Time.
I do believe that. With that, I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you, Wendy. Wendy M. from Colorado. Duke R. from Rhode Island. Your 3 minutes start right now.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Duke. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service this morning and great meeting. Wonderful to hear everybody. And, you know, when I did the steps out of the big book with the big book steps study sponsor, how I got to 7, 8, and 9 is I had to do the first 6. And specifically, my brain had to be cleared from those substances, as it says in the doctor's opinion. And when I did my 4th step, there's that hidden paragraph on page 67 that asks, where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid? And those are my character defects that I wrote about extensively in my step 4. So when I got to 6 and 7, that's what I was asking to be removed. And specifically, when I did my fear inventory, I found that all of my fears were because self-reliance failed me, and I had to learn to trust and rely on God. I went back to the list from my turnarounds of where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And that's where my 8-step amends list actually came from. And before I went out and actually made an amends, I was instructed by my sponsor to make an appointment with somebody. Just don't waylay somebody in Target or Starbucks. If I do see somebody that I haven't been able to get a hold of, ask them if they would have some time to talk to me at some point. And, you know, basically an index card or some cliff notes about what the issues were. And one of the very first amends I made is I'd been working in a long-term care facility, and I'd been stealing food from the place while I worked there. And I actually called that facility, asked them if they still had an activities director, if I could make an appointment, come in. I did, told them that I had worked there and that I had taken things that didn't belong to me. And my sponsor recommended that I replace all of that by going to Target shopping. And the interesting thing is the desire had been removed. All of those things that I was buying in the snack aisle had no life anymore. It was like looking at a piece of wood or a door. And I went in, and she was very gracious. She asked me if I was in recovery. She said her husband had been in NA. And I left there. You know, I felt like, you know, the fears had started to fall from me. I could look the world in the eye. And one of the living amends I often make, particularly having lived in South Florida, is when I pull up to a stoplight, I'll ask somebody if they want a protein bar and a bottle of water. And it's not because I'm a mensch. It's because it's a bit of a living amends, because a lot of my eating disorder was about excess. So I'm grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Duke. That's Duke R. from Rhode Island. Next up is Liz S. for 3 minutes. Hi, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. And the 7th step is very important to me because when I came to it, I realized that God is not simply going to remove my defects of character any more than he would give me the willingness to stop it, to stop compulsively overeating. So what I did was I looked up my character defects in the thesaurus to get the opposite. And then I really felt it was my responsibility to start practicing the opposite as much as I could. And some of it was very hard. I'm very judgmental. I'm intolerant. But I thought, do your part, Liz, and when God is ready, and I thought also to show my willingness to do that, to really make that effort to show God that I was willing to change and that I was willing to do differently. And my amends, some people I couldn't reach. I couldn't reach a grocery manager in New York. And my sponsor and I found alternate ways that I could just do things that were of good. And so I made 40 baby hats, and I took them to the maternity ward at my local hospital. And I said that a friend of mine, you know, had wanted me to deliver these. I wanted it to be anonymous, and I'm just delivering them. And they wanted to know the name. Oh, she just wanted it to be anonymous. So things like that can be done, you know, as a way of making an amend and, you know, just being able to give back what I took, but I couldn't really give back to the store, but I could give back to moms who had newborn babies. So there are ways for me to do things like that. A lot of amends I made one-on-one, and interestingly enough, nobody said, oh, you didn't do that. No, you didn't do that. And that was good for me to hear. It was a real wake-up call. I also made an amends to two bosses I was actually afraid to see on the street, and they were welcoming and kind and forgiving. So in many ways, the nine-step process was extremely important to me, and you know, if I have any amends to make in the future, I will make them in any way that I have to, because it's very freeing, and I owe it to those who I have hurt. So I highly recommend it, and I also highly recommend not being afraid to do it. But the seventh step was important to me to really look at what I needed to change and what I needed to practice in doing the opposite. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Liz S. It looks like there's time for probably at least 1 minute share. It seems like a small bit of time, but if you had a burning desire and you wanted to close us out for 1 minute, otherwise we can take that time and give it over to Lois to get more newcomers and offer more information for the newcomer that's arriving. We seem to kind of run out of time during that time anyhow. Okay, so I will, do we have anybody? Okay.
Sorry, is it?
Sounds like a... Oh, hi, Suri. Okay, you got just a little less than a minute then, Suri. Thanks.
Okay, that's fine. So humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. acknowledging what they are first is terrifying. And I realize that food is the ultimate boundary breaker because it is love. God either is or God isn't. And that's the only thing that's 100% perfect. But when we eat something, oh my God, that was delicious. That was perfect. But it wasn't, because it's not real, because it doesn't last, because it gets consumed and then goes through our system. But the love is perfect. And I choose to use this program and this meeting to feel that love. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Suri. Appreciate that time consideration and your share this morning. And that takes us out to the end of our meeting. And so we're going to do the wrap-up of this particular meeting, beginning with inviting Dana P. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll follow that up with the Serenity Prayer in unison. And I will close out the recorded portion of the meeting. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Dana P., here, compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...